You know, when I first heard about the thing, Crush, I was like, damn, I get crushes all the time. I got like a couple now.
It was in the late 90s, so everybody's wearing like t-shirts and pants that are like five sizes too large.
So Melanie and I, we both played sports, but I played basketball and she played soccer.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Jessica Henkin.
And I'm Laura Wexler.
This week on the podcast, Crushes. Three stories about painful, unrequited adorations just in time for Valentine's Day.
So this first storyteller is a historian and sort of public intellectual here in Baltimore. And he shares a great story about a crush from his adolescence.
You know, when I first heard about the theme, crush, I was like, damn, I get crushes all the time. I got like a couple now. I really don't have a crush story, right? They just come in and they go, and they come in and they go. But if you think about crush as compression, right, it's kind of like not just, it's kind of like a time compression. I came up with one. So I'm, about maybe 10 years ago, I'm hanging out with my aunt, my father's sister, and we're driving somewhere. And I don't remember where, but it's just us, we're talking, and she's like, you know, I've been meaning to ask you this question. Been meaning to ask you this question. When you graduated from eighth grade, you couldn't stop crying. And I wanted to know why you were so sad. Now, I grew up in a working class black neighborhood outside of Detroit, Inkster, Michigan. It was created basically as a spillover for black workers, folks who worked for Ford when they couldn't live in certain places in Detroit. And the schools got bad really, really quick. Right, so by the 70s, early 80s, my parents had to make a decision about my education. So they end up sending me to a working class, predominantly white Catholic school in the most racist city outside of, probably outside of the Deep South. In fact, there was a story about the mayor of that city, and it was like the Mississippi of the Midwest or some shit like that. I don't remember. So when my aunt is asking me this, when she's asking me, why were you crying, she's thinking in her head that something happened, that there was some type of racist incident that caused me to cry and that I didn't tell anybody, right? And the thing is, I had to think about it. I was like, damn, what did happen? And then it came back to me like, oh, my God. There was a sister I was deeply in love with, like in eighth grade. Oh, my God, I was so in love with her. It was crazy how much I'm in love with her. And my best friend was also in love with her, but my best friend was the athlete, and I was not. I didn't get my pimp game on until much later, which is another story. yeah, that sounds funny when I say that out loud, pimp game. And I liked her, right? I liked her, but I never told her, but it had to have been painstakingly obvious. So the last, when we were about to graduate and matriculate out of eighth grade, most of my eighth grade class was so bad, or this core of us that was so bad, that our trip, we went to Cedar Point. Cedar Point is an amusement park in the Midwest. Yeah, it has more roller coasters than any other place in the world. It's dope as hell. Sandusky, Ohio. They were like, okay, you guys can go on a trip, but you have to bring your parents. You cannot go unless you bring your parents, right? So, of course, I'm in that group. You know, my boy's in that. My best friend's in that group. And then a group of us in there. The girl isn't in that group, but the rest of us are, right? So we go to Cedar Point. We go to Cedar Point, whatever. We go back, right? We drive back in this bus. We start playing Truth or Dare in the back. The parents are in the front. Somehow we're playing Truth or Dare in the back, right? And you know that very rarely does a Truth or Dare game only focus on truth. It's like one of them steep hills and those roller coaster joints. As soon as there's one moment, and the next thing you know, it's all dare. It's like, yo, bam, bam, bam. So people are daring all types of stuff. I said we. But actually, I meant they. I had fallen asleep. and they're making out. My best friend is making out with this girl, got this crush on. It's on and popping, and I am knocked out, and nobody told me. Nobody told me. And I was, like, devastated. I was so hurt. So she knew because, you know, when we were matriculated, I didn't speak to her, right? And there weren't that many black people in our class, weren't that big. So she knew something was going on. And it finally, you know, I told her. I don't think she kissed me. But the thing was, as deep and as intense as that feeling was, I have forgotten about it to the point where I had to think long and hard, right? So fast forward, my middle son's at his eighth grade graduation, right? And, you know, he's doing his thing, a big class. And after the class graduates, they're all in the hall, and there's a big class of them. So we go in the hall, the parents look for the kids, and I see him, and he's like, he's looking at me, but he's looking around doing that. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? He's like, Dad, there's this girl, and she's stalking me. And at that moment, and I'm friends with the sister, I'm friends with her on Facebook, so I sent her a message. I was like, at that moment, I knew that at least on one level, there was some genetic growth, because his game was so much better than mine ever was. Not on my own.
Did you ever play Truth or Dare?
Oh, hells yes.
Yeah. I was a big 2 Minutes in the Closet fan. In fact, I had 2 Minutes in the Closet with Brendan Greeley, who's now an economist reporter for The Economist, journalist.
Is he going on a podcast saying, I had 2 Minutes in the Closet with Jessica Henkin?
Yeah, if he's
who's
smart,
now married to an e-bike rider.
Yeah, that's what, exactly. And in fact, that that closet was in Andrea Seabrook's house, a former NPR reporter.
Wow. Just a tangled web you're weaving here. The fact that he was asleep while his best friend was making out with the object of his crush, I could totally see that in a movie.
Yeah. A very funny movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our next story is from Steve Chu. And again, like an awkward adolescent situation. Take a listen.
I was 18. I was in my dorm. And it's a really nerdy, skinny guy. Like, all I did was play Counter-Strike. It was in the late 90s. So everybody's wearing, like, T-shirts and pants that are, like, 5 sizes too large, whatever.
Yes.
So I did this, and I was, like, still a little socially awkward. I didn't really come to my own until maybe college, maybe a few years after. But there was this one girl I really wanted to talk to. I knew she was a ballet dancer, and she would, like, read poetry, like, on the steps outside school every day. And I was like, okay, it's cool. I've never met anyone like this. I wanted to ask her out, but I couldn't really think of anything until, like, my college dorm, they had this dance. It was a harbor cruise. It was a midnight harbor cruise. I'm thinking, okay, I'm in college. Like, I thought it was over this, but such is life. So I asked this girl out in the most awkward, like, socially awkward way possible. I make a shoebox. It's a pop-up book, essentially. Yeah. So when you open it, there's, like, these little waves and, like, a bird and a seagull and a boat that says it would float my boat if you be my date to UCSD Harbor Cruise. And, like, in my head, this sounds really cool and everything, right? So I take this calculus test. I get back to my room, like, I'm really frazzled still. I wore glasses back then. I still, like, break out and everything. I see all the guys in my dorm. They're like, hey, bro, did you make a shoebox? And I see all the girls in my dorm saying, oh, that's so sweet. So it's like, all right, well, 50-50. You can't win them all, right? So I go up to Irene. It's like, oh, hi, Irene. Like, I guess I've never really talked to you before, but would you be my date to the Harbor Cruise? She's like, I think it was a really sweet gesture, Steve, but I'm going out with my girlfriend. She's right there. And I was like, that's cool. Can I have my box back? And I thought about it. I was like, no, whatever. Like, it made you happy. You can have it. It's cool. So I went back at night. I played a lot of Counter-Strike. I went to the gym. And by the end of the year, I was like the most jacked guy in my dorm. But yeah, you know, I really want to tell you that there's like a moral to this story, that I like learned something profound about myself from this. But really all I learned was I can make a pop-up book. It's got whales, it's got waves and seagulls and a steamboat. That's my story for you.
We know really nothing about Steve because this was told at an all-audience show like 15 years ago. So
we know that he can make a pop-up book in a box, which is so amazing.
I'm going to guess he went to Hopkins. Don't you think? If he's like that creative. He mentions
Micah. UCSD in the...
That's right. Yeah. I would say grad school at Hopkins. That's what brought him to Baltimore. Maybe.
Steve Chu, if you're out there, let us know if you're still making pop-up books and boxes for...
objects of your affection.
Right. Who in this case I think was a lesbian because she was going to the dance with her girlfriend.
Yeah. Well...
we don't know.
Gender's fluid.
Yeah.
Love is blind.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break before our next crush story.
This next storyteller is Ty Malik. Ty told this story, I think, at the same show a long time ago, an all-audience story. Take a listen to Ty's tales of high school crushes.
The crush story I'm going to tell is not just one. It's three crush stories. It took me like three crushes to get my first kiss with a woman, so... bear with me and just come with me to a journey. We're going to start in middle school. We're going to start in fifth grade. There we go. We're going to start in fifth grade, and I think I should change these names. I'm going to change the names. Okay. So we're going to start in fifth grade with Melanie, and Melanie was in my fifth grade class. And Melanie and I always sat next to each other because we were both honor students. And so, like, the honors table was kind of small. We repped it hard, right? And Melanie had the longest hair that I ever saw, like, a black girl have. Because, you know, when we were young in the early 90s, like, weave wasn't, like, a thing that fifth graders could wear. So I was amazed. Like, long hair was rare. And I would just, like, smile at her. And just smile. And she would, in my head and in my fifth grade eyes, she was smiling back. But when I like recalled these to a therapist, she wasn't quite smiling like I thought she was. So, so Melanie and I, we both played sports, but I played basketball and she played soccer because I was in Germany at the time. And so she was a really great soccer player, and I was kind of okay at basketball at the time. But I decided that, because during lunch, you know, there was a soccer field, there were basketball courts, or you could just, like, free play. So I left my basketball court sanctuary and was like, I'm going to play some soccer, because Melanie likes soccer players, and obviously I have to do that. I'm not good at soccer, and I don't know which direction I should be running in. And that's what I learned that day. That was that crush lesson that I don't know. I still don't know. I thought I was going to learn about it. I was just like, I'm not meant for it. So I didn't score the goal that I thought I was going to score and point at her. Because that was my plan. Like the whole lunch, because lunch recess, the whole lunch, like I'm eating my sandwich like, yes. Like she is about to be just blown away by my athleticism and my ability to point her out on a full soccer field and let her know it was her. She did help me up when I fell. She didn't smile. She kind of just like, why are you here? But in my fifth grade eyes, that was a smile. So I was like, action. So that was my fifth grade crush, and that was awesome. So I moved on. I had minor crushes. And then in 10th grade, changed the name, Sarah. In 10th grade, Sarah was, Sarah, she was like one of the prettiest girls in my high school. Okay, I'm going to tell you the truth. I was in Maine, and so she was like the only other black girl in my high school. So, like, I'm not going to lie to you people. Like, She wasn't that pretty, but... Survival. What? I was a militant when I was a kid. I still am, kind of. Anyway, so Sarah's going to be like my black queen, and we were just going to do things. Mind you, I was terrified of doing anything with girls. Like, it's not like I was having crushes, and like, if a girl came up to me and was like, Ty, I'm ready, I'm like, to do what? You know? But Sarah was as pretty as she was going to be against the competition. So my 10th grade at the, I played basketball, but I was better by then because I had 5 years of trying to impress my other mini crushes in between. And as a result, I was really, really good at basketball and watching cheerleading practice. I was also a professional cheerleading practice watcher. Sarah wasn't on the cheerleading team. She was like, probably on the debate team. She was really nerdy. I don't know why I like Sarah, okay, y'all? But at the time, she was it. So I would, again, it was like the same thing. Like, she had a hobby, then, like, I had to have some kind of a hobby with related or exactly like that. So so what I learned from that is that I'm not good at photography. I'm not really a cross-country runner. I don't care about stamps. It was good to learn. But I was going to be that because that's what my black queen wanted me to be. I think I probably talked to her twice, you know, and it's sad because if you're like the only other black person in an all-white environment, it's very natural to talk to the only other black person. Like, even if you have nothing in common, like, you see each other, I see each other, it's a nod, and then we get together. So it was actually more awkward for me to stay away from her than then just to fumble into conversation. Like, it was just very obvious that I was avoiding her because I wasn't ready yet. And once I acquired the skills that she liked, then I would talk to her. That didn't happen until the end of the school year. I was about to move to Germany, and she told me, she was wearing this shirt. I can't remember, it was like whatever the popular brand was, some popular brand at the time. And I was like, I have a shirt like that, but it's different, and yeah, it's really cool. She's like, what? I didn't even, oh, that's really cool, you should wear it. And the next day was the last day of school, and I was like, I'm going to wear it tomorrow. Here's a couple things about my version of the shirt. It was the sweater version. And also, like, I got it at least a year before. And then, you know, like, in adolescence, a school year is, like, you know, two different sizes. So I came to school, like, in this... It's, like, right here, guys. Like, right here. Like, it was just... And I knew, like, when I put it on, I was like, I don't know if this is how I want to leave Maine. Like, you know, like, I don't know if this should be my last impression people see this, but I didn't care because Sarah wanted to see it. And so I found her in the hallway. All right, I'm going to walk up. This mic is Sarah. Just... Right? And she was like, oh, you got it. And then she was like, good luck in Germany. Yeah, and I was, yeah. All right now. And so I'm going to go to my last crush real quick. So 12th grade, Alex is her change name. And by this time, I've moved up in basketball and also in my crush game, right? So Alex was new to the school that senior year, and we were on the basketball team together. And we became close, like really, really close, right? And so we worked together as well. We had like a job at Burger King, and we would find ourselves very close to each other all the time. Also, by this time, I had talked myself out of the fact that I like girls. So it was really weird that I could not stop spending time with her. And we would find ourselves in compromising, other people would find us in compromising positions that we didn't realize we were doing. For example, I swear, y'all, I promise, we were in the Burger King freezer and talking, and our manager came in, and he stopped, and he looked at us weird, and I'm like, why is he looking at us weird? And I kid you not, my hand was just like chilling on her breast, like just not, I don't remember playing with it. It was just like chilling. And I looked at him, and he looked at the hand, and was like, I don't know. And then another time in computer science class, we were sitting there and our mice shouldn't even be together because we're like both right-handed, so I don't know why. And someone came and we're just talking like I don't even realize this. I'm touching her and we're just talking, looking at our computer, and someone else comes by and was like, "Oh, hey, y'all." I'm like, what? What's up? And then they look. We all three of us go to my hand at the same time. It's just like, well, I was like, oh, because I'm holding her hand. Fine, fair enough. That's weird. So to wrap the story up, it's prom time. I don't have a prom date. She doesn't have a prom date. We're gonna go to prom together. That's fine. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Sure. I tell my mom, she's not happy about this, but she's just happy that I'm wearing a dress, so I was like, fine, just whatever you want to do, right? So we go to prom together. Everyone, and it's a very small school, so when I say everyone, it's like all 40 of my senior class. Everyone goes to a club after. Like, everyone's like, everyone can go out. And my mom gave me no curfew that night. So I was like, go to your club with your friend or figure out how to cuddle. And I figured out how to cuddle. We lived in these like big apartment buildings, so we just like walked up to the stairwell, and it was like this empty stairwell, and we just like cuddled all night. It was like the best day ever. I didn't get my kiss. My kiss is like the next woman, but my crush like ended on a sweet note. All right, thanks guys.
I love so much about Ty Malik as just a storyteller, as a comedian, as an individual. But I really enjoy how you just kept on saying that it was Maine. So like you just had to, you know, limit your understanding of what was attractive. Like it couldn't be on the same like scale really as the gen pop, because Maine is its own like.
Yeah. Know. All right. Well, I think we've given you a lot of good information today about crushes and humiliation and unrequited love. And we really appreciate y'all listening to our episode. If you want to learn more about The Stoop, you can visit us at stoopstorytelling.com. We want to thank Maureen Harvey for producing the show. We have had a crush on Maureen for nigh on a decade, wouldn't you say?
Yep, absolutely.
And anyway, we'll be back. I think there's a little love there for us, but we'll be back soon with more stories from The Stoop.